Well, good morning. It is so good to be here. Good to see you all. Welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Christian Becker. It's good to see you here today. Let's pray and talk to the God of the Word before we open the Word of God. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that Jesus is our Savior, that He is a risen Savior. Thank you, Lord, that our fears and failures are behind us in Christ, that we have forgiveness in Him. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father, who comes to give us life, but also to give us strength to live for you and also open our eyes to the truths of your word. As we turn to your word now, Father, we pray that you would direct our thoughts in the next few minutes. Help us to see Jesus and to follow him. For we pray in the name of our Savior and Lord, Jesus the Christ, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Well, it is graduation season, as you may have heard, and people are talking about how to succeed in life. You know, we hear all these different formulas for success. Everybody's looking for an easy formula, and we find it even in the comics sometimes. One of my favorite comics in the newspaper used to be about this little girl named Agnes. She was a grade school girl. I don't know if you ever saw it. She was poor. She lived with her grandma in a trailer park, didn't have much, and her best friend Trout was always trying to keep her down to earth. Agnes was always optimistic. Trout always kind of gave her perspective. And one day they were talking about success. And Agnes says, Grandma told me that if my heart was pure, my mind clear, and my intentions truly honorable, I would surely succeed in life. And then they're walking along and Trout's thinking about that. And then Trout says, all at the same time? And Agnes says, you're right, I'm doomed. I'm doomed. You know, if you're like most people, you can identify with Agnes and her friend Trout. To have a pure heart, a clear mind, and honorable intentions all at the same time is fairly rare for people. Now, many of us have already seen some success in life. We went to kindergarten. We made it through middle school. And most of us graduated high school. Some even went on to college and succeeded there. Then we face the road to adulthood. And the question is, how can we be sure of continued success in life? How can we be sure of it? Well, today I want to share with you some secrets or principles for success found in God's Word, the Bible. Actually, these principles will work wherever you are in life, no matter what stage you're at. If you're in school, if you're graduating, if you're in midlife or retirement, what you do with this is really up to you. It'll work no matter where you are in life. You know, I don't know if you remember, the Army used to have a slogan years ago, be all you can be. Do it in the Army. Do you remember that? Be all you can be, do it in the Army. Well, today I want to challenge you with be all God wants you to be. Not just what you can be, but be what God wants you to be. Find success in His plan for your life. And the first secret for success that we see in the Bible is this, that we need to face our fears. Your doubts, your worries, your concerns. You see that little boy up on top of the monkey bars? He doesn't look like he's very courageous, you know. Fearful. Face your fears. How do we do that? Well, to do that, we need to follow God's plan. And to find out how, we're going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to look at verses 7 to 9. I'm using the English Standard Version. I invite you to use whatever version you have. 2 Timothy chapter 1. You know, the Bible is full of fear nots. Fear not, I am with thee. You remember all these fear nots. But I like this passage because it was written to a young man, possibly about the same age as today's high school graduates this year. You know, Timothy was a young pastor at the church of Ephesus, and the apostle Paul was his mentor. Paul was encouraging Timothy. He encouraged him in the first letter to not let others intimidate him because of his youthfulness, of his young age. Timothy lacked self-confidence. In the second letter to Timothy, Paul reminds him that any cowardice in his life is not something that comes from God. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. The Bible says, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began." A fear that controls you is not a part of God's plan for your life. People let all kinds of fears control them. Well, that's not part of God's plan for your life. In fact, this is a good way to spot a false religion. If the main motivation for obedience is fear, then the Bible says that's not from God. That's not from God. If you're afraid that if you don't do this or don't keep that rule, you're going to go to hell, you won't make it to heaven, that's not from God. That's not from God. If people are trying to intimidate you into being just like them, that's not from God. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, well, let me stop right there. What does that mean? When you put your faith in Christ as the one who died on the cross for your sin, you believe in Him, you confess Him as your Lord, follow Him, that's calling on Christ to be your Savior. When you do that, the Bible says that God's Holy Spirit takes up His residence in our lives and He provides the power we need to eliminate our fears. With God in control, we can face our fears. He gives us the ability to do what life demands, to love when others hate, to be under control when others throw restraint to the wind. Now here's how to defeat your fears. It's very simple. Be filled with God's Spirit. Be filled with God's Spirit. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, the second part of the verse tells us that God's Spirit is a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind, the King James says, self-discipline. Will you invite Him to be Lord of your life, to fill every part of it? Life is full of fears. What will you do? Some of you remember the first time you move away from home. That's fearful, isn't it? That's fearful at first. Going for a job interview, scary. No matter what age you are, right? Not having friends who care about you can be devastating. But God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, the Bible says. It's God's plan to move you from fear to confidence. You're called to live courageously and to trust the power of God's Spirit. Even if you're young and inexperienced and somewhat afraid, God will work in and through you if you let Him. God can use you and will use you no matter where you are in life. But first, you have to be willing to face your fears. Saying yes to Jesus Christ while facing the fear of being stereotyped is a courageous thing. And we live in a day when a lot of Christians are stereotyped. All Christians are like this or like that. Saying yes to a godly lifestyle is a difficult job while facing the fear of ridicule. That's a courageous thing. Staying in a marriage that has hit a dead end while facing the fear of an unfulfilled life, that's a courageous thing. Saying yes to honesty and integrity in the world while facing the fear of people looking down on you because you don't go along with them, that's a courageous thing. In fact, one of the biggest battles you'll face in life is the battle for honesty. Dishonesty is rooted in fear of what people will say or do. Sadly, dishonesty is the norm today. It takes courage to be honest on a resume. We hear a lot about a lot of people padding their resumes these days. It takes courage to not cheat or to be fair in business. God has promised the power and love and self-control we need to get the job done and to honor Him. Even if you stand alone. Think about your fears. Write them down. Recognize them. And then turn them over to the Lord. Ask God to help you overcome them. You know, it's not wrong to have fears. What's wrong is when we let fears control us. When we become consumed by fear or live in a constant state of fear. Then our fears can keep us from doing right. You know, the fear of man and faith are not compatible. You have one or the other. You have one or the other. But fear of man is a real thing. I read about a university that tested 10 students once in a classroom. Three lines of varying lengths were drawn on a card, and the students were told to raise their hands when the instructor pointed to the second longest line. Nine of the students were told beforehand to raise their hands when the instructor pointed to the longest line. One student was the stooge, okay? The usual reaction of the stooge was to put their hand up, look around, and then realize they were alone, they put their hand down. 75% of them did that. Because they would rather go along with the majority than to be right and stand alone. That's human nature, giving in to our fears. Now you can face your fears squarely with a firm confidence in God. Never, ever take your cues from the crowd. Never. So the first principle of success in life is to face your fears. How? Be filled with God's Holy Spirit. The second secret we see in God's Word for success is to forget your failures. Put them behind you. Forget your failures. Learn from them and then forget them. The Bible says to forget what is behind. Look with me at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 12 to 14. Apostle Paul writing again, and he says in Philippians 3:12, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Now remember, Paul is in prison. He's chained to a Roman guard under terrible conditions when he is writing these words. And we see that Paul makes two decisions in the statement, verse 13. He refuses to allow failures to destroy his life. Do you see that? He said, "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. I may have failed in the past, but I'm not going to let that control my life." And then he refuses to allow his failures from reaching his goal. He's just straining forward to what lies ahead. "I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call." Maybe I've stumbled. Maybe I've fallen in my race. But that's behind me. I'm going to press on toward the goal that God has called me to. How do you do that? You need to focus on what is ahead. Focus on what is ahead. Look again at Paul's words. He said, "I press on. One thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining forward, I press on toward the goal." Folks, there will be failures. There's going to be failures. None of us are perfect. And the only ones who never make mistakes are the ones who never do what? They never do anything. Yeah, they don't make any mistakes, but they don't do anything either. It's not a matter of if you fail. The question is when. And when we fail, we need to learn from it, put it behind us, and go on. Good leaders are people who are willing to try something, and if they fail, learn from it, and change and do something else. We must never allow failure to turn us into quitters. And I'm not talking just about positive thinking, but about faith in a God who loves you and will forgive you when you do fail. Because we have a God who is able to work all things together for what? Good to those who are called according to his purpose. God is able to work things together. Even our failures, he can work. He's been doing that since the Garden of Eden, hasn't he? Taking our failures, turning it into something good. See, the reason we don't quit is because we've read the end of the book. And we know that our team wins in the end, okay? So we don't quit. We know God loves us and that there is forgiveness in Christ for our sin. We know that God isn't looking for perfection. He's looking for faithfulness. Faithfulness. Another word for that is perseverance. Students had to look that up in a class. Says, "What's perseverance, Mr. Becker?" I said, "That's keeping on, even when life's tough, you know? Faithfulness is keep on doing what God has asked you to do, even when you fail, even when life turns against you." The story goes that during World War II, Oxford University had asked then Prime Minister Winston Churchill to give an address, a commencement. As Churchill approached the platform, the story goes, he removed his cigar, he placed his top hat on the podium, and then Churchill looked over the audience, and with an authoritative tone in his voice, he said, "Never give up." There was a profound silence as Churchill paused. Several seconds passed without him saying another word. And then finally he repeated, "Never give up." And then Churchill reached for his hat. He steadied himself with his cane and left the platform. And while such words are simple, they speak volumes. They speak volumes. If you just dwell on all your failures, you'll never get anywhere. Oh, I don't want to do that because I tried it before and I failed. I tried teaching a class once. I tried doing a Good News Club and it didn't work out, so I don't want to do it again. Failures are not the end of the world. They are the beginning of success. Especially when they turn us back to dependence on God. Sometimes that's the benefit of a failure. Because then we turn to God and say, Lord, I can't do this without your help. And God's like, well, I was waiting for you to ask. You know? Okay, so the first secret in life is what? Face your fears, okay? Be filled with God's Spirit. The second secret is to forget your failures. Focus on the future. The third and last secret for success in life as a Christian is this. Follow your faith. Follow your faith. If you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, someone pointed you to faith in Christ, didn't they? And if that's you, the Bible tells you to do something. It tells you to fix your eyes. Fix your eyes. This requires focus, it requires commitment, and it starts with faith. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. The book of Hebrews was written to Christians who were struggling with their faith. They were wavering in their devotion to Christ because they were going through hard times. The writer encourages the saints to not give up because others have been victorious, and so can we. So can we. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings us so closely, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. The biblical writer establishes the fact that all runners need a reference point in running a race. People in a spiritual race or on a spiritual journey need also to have a reference point. If you're in the middle of nowhere and you don't know what to do, you don't know how to get where you're going, the first thing you need to do is find out what direction is what? North. That's what they tell you to look for, right? Find the true north, all right? Once you know where true north is, then you can navigate from there and figure out where to go. You know, I've always been a fan of the space program. And I remember Apollo 13. You remember Apollo 13? They made a movie about it in 1995. On day 6 of the ill-fated Apollo 13 mission, they remember they were going to go to the moon. You remember they had an explosion? They couldn't land on the moon. They had to turn around. They had to come back. Well, on the 6th day, the astronauts needed to make a critical course correction. If they failed, they would fly right on by the Earth and keep going. Okay? To conserve power, they had already shut down the onboard computer. That's what steered the spacecraft. Yet the astronauts needed to conduct a 39-second burn of the main engines. How were they going to steer? Astronaut Jim Lovell figured that if they could keep a fixed point in space in view through the tiny window, they could steer the craft manually. That focal point turned out to be their destination, the Earth. As shown in the 1995 hit movie, Apollo 13, for 39 agonizing seconds, Lovell focused on keeping the Earth in view. By not losing sight of that reference point, the three astronauts avoided disaster. The Bible says, for Christians, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. There's so many distractions in the world. So many things we want to take our eyes off him. The Bible says, fix your eyes on Jesus. And then when you got your eyes on him, you need to follow the leader. Follow him. Don't just look at him. Follow him. Scripture reminds us that to finish our life mission successfully, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Our reference points as Christians is Jesus Christ. You can be flexible on many things in life, but when it comes to the true north of the Savior, his teachings, don't budge. That's our reference point, following him. And who better than Jesus as our example? I mean, think of somebody keeping their eyes on the reference point. He kept on going, right? No matter what happened, to follow the Father's will. It's so easy to become distracted in today's world, isn't it? But remember, the Bible says there are those who have gone on before you. Right now, they're that great cloud of witnesses. And they're not just watching. I believe they're up there cheering us on. We are going through a tough time. Those that have gone on before are praying for you, and they're saying, you can do it. Our greatest challenge is to follow our faith, focused on Jesus all the way. All the way. I challenge you, read your Bible. In a lot of homes, it just sits there gathering dust. Don't let that be your home. Read your Bible. Read the Psalms every day. Read some of the Proverbs. I remember reading about Billy Graham. That's what he did for a while. And I followed that for a while. I always tried to read a little bit of the Psalms. I still do. And there's 31 Proverbs. And how many days are there in most months? 31. You can read a chapter of Proverbs every day. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It'll change your life. You remember the childhood game, Simon Says? Well, we need to do the grown-up version of that. Jesus says, learn what he says, follow him, obey him. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You know, the great evangelist D.L. Moody once said, the world has yet to see what God can do with one man fully yielded to him. I want to be that man. And God used him, didn't he? Founded the great Moody Bible Institute, preached all over the place. Thousands came to Christ. What about you? Will you be that man or woman? You can if you'll face your fears, forget your failures, and follow your faith. If you will follow Jesus Christ, you can be all that God made you to be. You can. And I know it may seem like an obvious question, but who is your faith in today? I want you to think about, who is your faith in today? Is it in yourself? Your own ability to perform and succeed? That's pride, my friend. And the Bible says that pride goes before a fall. But if you'll put your faith in Jesus, first to save you, then to guide you, he will never let you down. If you come to Christ and say, Father, please accept me, not for what I have done, but for what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross, please accept me and adopt me into your family. He'll do it. You'll become a child of God that day. I read about a young man who was getting ready to graduate one year. For many months, he had admired a sports car in the dealer's showroom in his town. Knowing his father could well afford it, he told him that that's all he wanted for graduation. Dad, that's what I want, that car. As graduation day approached, the young man looked for signs that his father had purchased the car for him. Finally, on the morning of graduation, his father called him into his private study and he told him how proud he was to have such a fine son. Told him how much he loved him, and then he gave him a beautifully wrapped gift box. Curious and somewhat disappointed, the young man opened the box and found in the box a beautiful leather-bound Bible with his name embossed in gold. Angry, he yelled at his father and said, with all your money, you give me a Bible? And he stormed out of the house. Many years passed, and the young man became very successful in business. He had a beautiful home, a wonderful family, but he realized his father was getting very old and thought perhaps he should go visit him. He hadn't seen him since that day he was to graduate. Before he could decide, he received a call telling him that his father had passed away and willed all of his belongings to his son. He needed to come home immediately and take care of things. When he arrived at his father's house, sudden sadness and regret filled his heart. He began looking through his father's important papers, and he saw the still new Bible that he had left there years earlier. With tears, he opened the Bible and began to turn the pages. His father had carefully underlined a verse, Matthew 7, verse 11, that says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" As he read those words, a key dropped from the back of the Bible. It had a tag with a car dealer's name, the same dealer who had the sports car he had wanted. And on the tag was the date of his graduation and the words, "Paid in full." How many times do we miss God's blessings because they don't come packaged the way we were expecting them? Or because we can't see past our own desires? The Bible says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will be prosperous and successful." Listen to the Bible, my friends. It is great for your soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you have given to us the words of life. Forgive us when we have neglected your word. Speak to us today through it. Show us what we need to do next. Help us all to take the next step of faith that you've invited us to take, that we might follow Jesus. Thank you so much for the forgiveness in him for our failures. Thank you for your patience with us. What? Thank you, Lord, for the joy we have because we know our sins are forgiven. Help us to share this message of good news with those around us who need hope, who need a Savior today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.